Well, despite the foul weather, earlier this evening a number of us shared in a Paschal meal here in the parish. It would have been similar in some respects to the Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples on the night before he died. Passover was then and always has been the most important religious festival for the Jewish people, recalling the faithfulness and deliverance of God. As we heard from the book of Exodus this evening, "This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout all generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Those of us gathered here tonight, together with our Christian brothers and sisters around the world and throughout history, we no longer keep this perpetual memorial. Because on the night before his suffering and death, Jesus, identifying himself with the faithfulness and deliverance of God, gave us a new memorial feast to observe, a perpetual memorial of that his precious death until his coming again. "This is my body which is given for you," Jesus said. "This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." During my years as a military chaplain, the most common questions I was asked concerning Holy Week were always about the meaning and the significance of this particular night, the Thursday before Easter. The folks in my units and at our base chapels understood Palm Sunday and Good Friday and even Easter, but Maundy Thursday was often less clear for many of them, and in particular, people wanted to know what the word Maundy actually meant. I can remember as a kid, I used to think that people were saying Monday, Thursday, like Tuesday, Friday, I suppose, whatever the heck that could possibly mean. And so I understand the curiosity or uncertainty that some folks have about the meaning of the word Monday and about how it relates to the significance of this night. But before I say a bit about that, I want to reflect with you for a moment on the story that we just read from John's Gospel. In this passage, Jesus has gone to Jerusalem for the Passover. He's gathered with his disciples at a table in an upper room, and he knows what's about to happen. He knows that by the end of that night, one of his disciples will betray him, one of his disciples will deny him, and all of his disciples will desert him. And yet there he is in the midst of them, breaking bread and pouring the cup, eating with them and blessing them, and even getting down on his knees and washing their feet, showing to them his love and his grace and compassion, and doing so in a context and circumstance where we might have just as easily understood it if he'd expressed instead anger or disappointment. Jesus had lived a life of righteousness and peace. He pronounced a message of hope and of wholeness to those who needed it most. He'd fed the hungry, healed the sick, and even raised the dead. He'd opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed release to those who were held captive by authority or affliction and by prejudice or self-loathing. And Jesus knew that he was not about to be thanked for all this. Rather, he was about to be arrested and killed. Because in the end, the goodness and kindness and compassion he had brought were far more of a threat to the Roman authorities and to the religious leaders of his day than any weapon or army could have ever been. By his words and witness and by his wonders, Jesus had so radically shaken their status quo that the authorities decided their only option was to destroy him. And on the night before his death, Jesus wasn't attempting to flee or plotting revenge. Rather, he was gathered with the ones he loved most, the ones who had been with him on the journey, the ones who had seen all that he had done, the ones who would bear witness to his life and teaching after he was gone. And that's where this word Maundy comes into play. Because what do you do if you're Jesus? What do you do if you know you're not going to be around much longer? And you have to tell the people you love the most how to keep moving forward after you're gone. Most scholars suggest that the word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means mandate or commandment. And when we're talking about Maundy Thursday, therefore, we're talking about Mandate Thursday. We're talking about the night that Christ told his disciples exactly what he expected of them. And the mandate, if you will, the mandatory thing that Jesus tells them and us is quite simply this, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, Jesus said, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Now, it's certainly not my place to rename our Christian holy days, but if it were up to me, I might suggest that we change the name of Maundy Thursday from a word that none of us really knows or uses anymore to something we might find easier to understand and explain. Something like Mandate Thursday, or Love One Another Thursday, or The Last Thing Jesus Really Wanted Us to Know Thursday. Because this truly is the essence of the message that we all need to hear and to proclaim. In a few moments, we will be recalling the loving actions of Jesus, first of all by the washing of feet, and then by celebrating the Eucharist. And as we do so this evening, let us remember Christ's mandate to his disciples, the new commandment that he gave to them and that he gives to us. And may we know in our hearts and show in our lives the love that Jesus poured out for us, the love that he bears so faithfully and so fully for us, the love that he calls us and dares us to be for one another and for the world. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Love one another as I have loved you. May it be so. May we work to make it so. Amen.